Please stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's IBM conference call. Before I turn the call over to Mr. Mike Murphy, I would like to leave you all with a backup number. That number is 888-515-2235 and reference conference code 608-4503. Please go ahead, Mr. Murphy.
Okay, thank you. My presentation today is continuation of the VE Deep Dive Education sessions, and my presentation is entitled The Virtualization Engine Console Usability Enhancements. My name is Mike Murphy, and I am a member of the Virtualization Engine Console development team. Let's go to slide 2 for the agenda, and the topics I'll be covering are the two major usability enhancements in Release 2, which are the VE Console Welcome Page and the Health Center Setup Wizard. And on slide 3, as a conclusion of the, at the conclusion of the material, you should be able to do the following, which is to locate the Virtualization Engine Welcome Page, describe the purpose of the Welcome Page, and identify what links are available from the Welcome Page, and also locate the Health Center Setup Wizard, describe its purpose, and be able to add management sources, groups, and monitors to the Health Center. Okay, on slide 4, here is how you would get to the Welcome Page. From the navigation tree on the left side of the VE Console main page, you would just expand the Virtualization Engine Console node and click on the Welcome link, and that will bring up the VE Console Welcome Page. Going on to slide 5, the purpose of the Welcome Page is basically to provide you one place to go to determine at a glance whether or not the VE Console is ready to use. It also provides links to perform additional configuration or setup if it isn't quite ready to go yet. In addition, it provides links to other functions when it detects them, such as IBM Director setup and virtualization software updates, for example. It also provides links to InfoCenter articles regarding EWM and setup of EWM if it is detected. And finally, it provides a general InfoCenter link to information about how to use and navigate through Virtualization Engine Console itself. Okay, let's go on to slide 6. The welcome page itself is divided into two sections. There's a section entitled Virtualization Engine Readiness and Virtualization Engine Resources. The readiness section basically contains items that have an associated state indicating whether the item is ready to use or whether it needs further configuration. So that icon represents the state of that particular function within the VE. And the resources section basically has no state associated with those. They're basically just links either to other portlets or information center articles to give you information about that specific topic. Let's go on to slide 7 and talk a little bit more detail about the Virtualization Engine Readiness section of the welcome page. Specifically, there's going to be three functions that you can see under that, that will have a status associated with them. The first is the single sign-on function, the second is the health center, and third is the resource discovery service. Initially, the setup was the single sign-on, the health center icons will more than likely be red, indicating that there's some setup required. Those two links will always be displayed. The resource dependency service, on the other hand, is optionally displayed. If we detect that RDS is installed in the VE environment, you'll see it there. And generally, it'll turn up green unless there's something usually drastically wrong. But anyway, that also has a status associated with it. The single sign-on link will launch you into the single sign-on management portlet. The setup, the health center link will launch you into the health center setup wizard. And we'll talk more about that later in the presentation. Icons, if you see a red icon, it generally means that an action is required to enable the use of the function. If you see a yellow icon, it generally means that some configuration has been completed, however more is needed. And green indicates that all the configuration has been completed and the function is usable. So generally, when it is a red or a yellow icon, clicking on the link associated with that function is going to get you into some user interface that will allow you to do whatever configuration or setup that is needed to get that into a green state. So that's the purpose of those links. Let's go ahead and go on to slide 8. Okay, so specifically when you click the setup single sign-on for your user's link, it will launch the single sign-on page, which is shown in the screen capture there on slide 8. And from there, you're able to set up your user identity associations. I'm not going to go into any detail regarding that because there's another presentation regarding security that covers that. So let's go on to slide 9. And this basically just shows you where the setup, the Health Center link gets you to. And that launches the Health Center setup wizard, which allows you to add your management sources, groups, and monitors to the Health Center. And I'll be covering the Health Center setup wizard in detail later in the presentation. So if we go on to slide 10, it shows the configuration resource dependency service link launches the resource dependency service configuration page. And from there, if you have the proper authority, you can do things like manage your resource dependency data collector configurations, view ODIRM discovered resources, work with custom data collectors, and some other things as well. Again, the details for that panel, that set of interfaces, is covered in the RDS presentation, so I won't be going into any more detail about that. Let's go on to slide 11. And what we see here is the bottom half of the welcome page, which is the virtualization engine resources section. And most of the links here are going to be displayed optionally, dependent on whether or not certain software or conditions are met, software has been discovered or conditions have been met. Let's look at the first link, Set Up IBM Director. This launches the Setup IBM Director page, which I'll cover in detail later. And you'll only see this link if an IBM Director bridge is detected within your VE environment. The next set of links are related to EWM, and they will only be found on the page if EWM software has been detected in your VE environment. Each link will launch into an Info Center article pertaining to that particular link. For example, the configuration EWM domain manager link will launch you into an article regarding configuration of EWM and so forth with install and configuring management services. Okay, the next link is the ensure that you install the latest virtualization engine updates. and that is displayed only if you your user that you logged in on is a VE administrator. And what that allows you to do is launch the virtualization engine updates page. And again, that is another subject of a presentation that's separate from this one. So I won't be going into detail about that. And finally, the last link, Get to Know the Virtualization Engine Council, launches a general article on the use of the Virtualization Engine Council and navigating within it. And that link is always displayed. Okay, let's go on to the next slide, which is slide 12. And we're going to talk a little bit more detail about the Setup IBM Director link. Here you can see the screen capture shows you that clicking on the Setup IBM Director link launches the Setup IBM Director page. And basically, this page will step you through setting up your IBM Director environment. The first step, you would select the IBM Director server that you want to do setup for. And the software detects, you'll see a list of systems there in the drop-down box, and the software is going to detect which systems out there in your VE environment have an IBM Bridge installed on it. And those are the systems that are going to show up in that drop-down box. And we would assume that if you have the Bridge installed, you'd also more than likely have the IBM Director server installed on that system. If not, these setup steps will fail. Okay, in step two, normally you would run a discovery of your systems using the IBM Director discovery function. And so clicking on that link will bring up the first of all, if you don't have the IBM Director console installed on this browser that you're using, it will install it automatically using Java Web Start. So if you already know it's not installed, you could select the link, install the IBM Director console on a local system down below, and install it first. But if you forget or you don't do it and you click on the link in number two there to launch discovery, it will sense that the Director console is not installed and it will install it for you. It'll take you through the steps to install it. Ask if you want to install it. So after that is complete, then it will launch the discovery function within the Directory Console application. So that will, like I said, that will actually launch a separate standalone application, the Directory Console app on your client. So if you've done discovery, you would go to step three, which is to do the software distribution. So if you click on that link, again, it would bring up the IBM Director console and take you right to the software distribution manager application within the Director console. From there, you can perform any software distribution that you'd like. Okay, so we talked about the install Director console link following that. And the last link on the Setup IBM Director page is the eServer Information Center, IBM Director. And that will basically just take you to an InfoCenter article that provides some general information regarding IBM Director itself. Now, just an FYI, these links under 2 and 3 do use the launch in context functionality, which is new in release 2, and there is a separate presentation about that, so I won't go into any more detail about that. So let's go on to slide 13, a virtualization engine updates. This screen capture shows you the page that is brought up when you click on the Ensure that you install the latest virtualization engine updates link from the bottom portion of the welcome page. And it brings up the virtualization engine updates page, which allows you to find and download and install updates for your virtualization engine products. Basically, the updates component contacts IBM to check for available updates for your installed V products and then gives you the ability to download and install them. From one virtualization engine console system, you can download and install updates on your remote VE systems also. You can also download IBM Director Agent and EWM Agent updates and import them into your IBM Director for distribution. I'm not going to go into detail about any of this. This is covered in a separate presentation on serviceability. So let's go on to the next slide, which brings us to the second major usability enhancement that we'll be discussing today for the console, which is the Health Center Setup Wizard. The Health Center Setup Wizard can be reached in a couple different ways. First, you can get there from the navigation tree to expand the Virtualization Engine console, expand the Virtualization Engine setup, and click on the Health Center Setup link. That will bring you to the Health Center Setup Wizard. Now, the other way that we can get to it, if we go to slide 15, is to launch the Management Source Configuration page. And that can be found from the same location under the VE setup node in the tree. There is a link called Setup the Health Center on that page. And it will also, like I said, it will also launch the Health Center Setup Wizard. Okay, why do we want to use the Health Center Wizard? Well, it uses a wizard format, so it steps the user through the Health Center setup. It's easy to use. It discovers management sources that haven't already been added by you as the user. It allows you to choose which ones you want to add, which are the management sources it discovers, which ones you want to add. It allows you to rename the management sources. If you don't like the names that we generate, and it optionally allows you to add groups and monitors to the Health Center. And finally, it summarizes all the choices that you had made throughout the wizard. So, if we go on to slide 17, we'll take a look at the first page of the wizard itself. It is a welcome page, and it basically just explains what the wizard does for you. So, if we go on to slide 18, get to the meat of the wizard, which is the Management Sources page. And this page, behind the scenes, we have discovered the management sources in your VE environment that have not already been added by you. And we list those in this table here. And the management source name is generated based on the host name concatenated with the type of management source it is, so you can easily, at a glance, looking at the name, tell what type of management source it is. MC, for example, Management Source, or Management Central, I mean, or DIR, which stands for an IBM Director, are some examples of different management source types. You can rename these, as I said, by just clicking, selecting which ones you want to rename and clicking the rename button. And before proceeding to the next page, we ensure you select at least one before proceeding. Let's see. And if you wanted to see the current list of your management sources, you can just click on that link, View Currently Configured Management Sources. And that'll take you to another page that lists those management sources that have already been added in the past. Okay, if we go to the page 19, it shows an example of the rename button. So if we press the rename button on the management sources panel after selecting a particular management source, this page will come up, and we can change that name to anything that we want, as long as it doesn't already exist. Once you rename a management source and you finish the wizard, that's the name it's going to be known as to the health center, and you can't change it after that. So at this point, you want to make sure that the name you pick is the one you want. So if we go on to page 20, you'll get to the resources page after you click next from the management sources page. And basically what this page allows you to do is just decide whether or not you want your groups, your health center groups, or your monitors to be added to the health center automatically for you. It will add those that you own. And one thing that you need to note here is that if for some reason a connection cannot be made to the management source or sources that you're adding these groups and monitors for, they just don't get added. You'll see some logs, some errors, not errors, but some informational logs, informational messages in the logs telling you that, but the user won't see any errors pop up to them. So if we go on to page 21, we have the Health Center Setup Wizard summary page. And basically, the summary page just summarizes the choices you've made on the previous pages. In the box there, you can see the selected management sources that you had selected from the management sources screen, and an indication of whether or not you had selected to add groups and monitors to the health center. And by default, the checkbox to open the health center when the wizard is finished is checked. Of course, you can uncheck that if you've already have the health center opened or you don't want it opened. Just uncheck it. So basically, that is it. And for the two major enhancements to the VE console, if we go to slide 22, we have just a summary here. The welcome page, remember, is your first stop to determine whether or not the e-console is ready to use, and it also provides links to some key functions and information. And the Health Center Setup Wizard basically simplifies the process for adding management sources, your groups, and your monitors to the Health Center. I guess that is it. Is the operator on? Operator?
Sure, all lines are open.
Yes, could you ask if there's any questions?
Not a problem. The question and answer portion of this conference will be interactive. All lines will be open. We ask that you use a mute button when not speaking to cut down on background noise. Please keep in mind that the Star 6 feature will not mute your line on operator-assisted calls such as this one. Also, if you need to step away from today's call, please do not place your line on hold, as the doing so may feed music into the entire conference. Are there any questions at this time? Looks like there's no questions, Mr. Murphy.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, this is Madeline Mike. Can we go to the next speaker? Hello?
Mr. Irwin, your line is open.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm next. I thought Tim Moffin was next.
Mr. Moffin has not joined.
Okay, I can go ahead. So I can can go ahead and go?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Hi, I'm Tony Irwin, and I'm going to be talking about Virtualization Engine Console resource topology this morning. I will go ahead and go to slide 2 with the agenda. I'm going to give a quick overview of the topology function, talk about the two different, we have two different sets of data you can view in our topology viewer. That's the virtualization engine environment and the managed resources view. I'll go into both of those. I'll go into some of the different topology views we can look at, as well as preferences and some other GUI features of our product. Moving on to slide 3, just a placeholder. So slide 4, I'll just give a little introduction here. It's a part of the VE console, as I kind of mentioned earlier. The resource topology allows users to visualize, explore, and work with resources and relationships in a graphical manner. And I'll have a lot of screenshots of that as we move forward. And they can users can look at two different data sources, the virtualization engine environment, which is basically, I think some of the common runtime presentations have been given, probably talked about the virtualization engine environment that you have to specify at install time. We allow users to see the resources and relationships in this environment. And managed resources, which are the resources and relationships discovered by resource dependency services, RDS. So moving forward to slide 5, just a quick screenshot to show you where we're located at within the VE console, how you launch resource topology. So if you go to the virtualization engine console folder, there's a hardware and software subfolder, and right at the top of that folder, there's a resource topology. Moving to slide 6, got a screenshot showing a combo box at the top of our portlet, which allows the users to switch between the two data sources that I've kind of mentioned earlier, the virtualization engine environment and managed resources data sources. And I'll be next, as I move on to slide 8, be diving into the virtualization engine environment data source specifically. So, again, this view allows users to visualize the resource types that make up the virtualization engine environment, and there are four types they might see, and those are systems, features, software, and settings. Systems refer to any of the computer systems where virtualization engine software has been installed, and if you run the suite installer on system X, system X would appear in a topology view here. Features would be the VE offerings like EWLM, VE console, etc., that are comprised of multiple software components, which leads to the next thing you might see, which is actual pieces of software, and those come together to make features, and examples of those are like the ISC itself, WebSphere, etc. Settings are just some data that's shared between various virtualization engine applications. These might be security settings, etc. So users can see all this in a graphical manner. The information is taken from a LDAP repository that's updated as virtualization engine software is installed and uninstalled. This data source is really for visualization only. You can't change any of the data that you view here. And it's always available. Nothing else needs to be installed. We'll talk about the managed resources data source in a little bit, and that requires RDS to be installed, but the virtualization engine environment does not. So moving to slide 9, if you choose to view the virtualization engine data source, this is the kind of the home topology that you would see. And I'll just go ahead to slide 10, and I'll give just kind of a quick example of how, you know, one way you might kind of drill down to see more data in this topology. In the topology view, if you right-click on the graph or on specific nodes in the graph, you get a context menu. And you see that here in the screenshot. And if I wanted to see what was inside of the systems node, for example, I'd right-click on it, get the context menu, and I could choose between open next level and open all levels. And for this example, I just chose open next level, which will take us to the next slide, page 11. And you see that it formed a topology with systems kind of as the root node in the middle, and then the list of systems that VE environment, or that are in your VE environment where software has been installed. So then I might be more interested in you know, just one of these systems for whatever reason. And the Indiana system is what I'm using here in this example. I right-click on it, form the context menu. And in this case, I'm going to say open all levels. So I'll go to slide 12. And so I drilled down into the Indiana system. And you can notice that I see that there's an installation, a VE installation on Indiana in the C:VE2 directory. That installation contains the ISC, and as you keep kind of following the links down the page here, you see that there's a VE console installed on the system. Then if you're interested in other nodes, in any of these topologies you see, if you want to drill down on other nodes, you do the same thing. You right-click and choose the drill-down option that you're interested in. So now I'm going to move on and talk about managed resources, the managed resources data source. So if you go to page 14, this data source allows users to visualize the managed resources and relationships discovered by RDS. Unlike the VE environment data source, RDS must be installed in the user's VE environment for this data source to work. And also, unlike the VE environment, this view is more editable. You can create and delete RDS resources, and create, delete relationships, edit properties, create groupings of resources, and you can also launch into the RDS admin and config GUI to do further fine-tuning of RDS. And in the screens that follow, I'll go into more details there. So going to slide 15, you see the Manage Resources kind of homepage. And so I switched the combo box at the top to Manage Resources from VE Environment. And what you see here, the icons in this graph represent the types of resources that RDS can discover, so applications, data containers, database instances, etc. And if I go to slide 16, I actually have definitions of what all these managed resources are. I'm not really going to go into all this here because of time, but systems is one that I'll kind of show in the example, and just as quickly, a system represents physical computers or virtual computers, and such as logical or physical partitions. So I'll let you read these other definitions if you're interested in that. So I'm going to, kind of like in the VE environment, I'm going to drill down on systems. I'm going to right-click on it, get this context menu, and I'm going to actually choose Open All Systems. So this will allow me to see all of the systems that were discovered by RDS. Similarly, if I wanted to see all the applications, I'd right-click on the Applications node, get the context menu, and say, "All, show me all applications." So I'll go to page 18, and I've drilled down on the Systems node, and now I have a list of all the systems, the 150 systems that RDS has discovered. And now, you know, I'm especially interested in system, you know, 118 here for whatever reason. So I'm going to right-click on it and in this case say open. And, you know, I've got options for child, parent, or all. These are different types of topologies that you can create from system 118. And I'm going to choose Open All and move to the next slide, page 19. And we see that a new topology has been created with system 118 as the root node. And we see all of its relationships to other resources that RDS has discovered. And again, if you wanted to explore more from this point, well, I'm interested in this database 5. You can right-click on it and drill down and see what it's related to. So then I'll move to page 20 and start talking about some of the kind of modifications you can do to topologies. First of all, you can create new resources. So you know there's an application out there, for example, that RDS hasn't discovered it, it's not appearing in your topology, you can right-click on the background menu, and there's a new resource cascading menu, and you can choose from all the 12 resource types and choose which one you want to create. In this case, I'm going to say application. And then you just get a kind of a secondary dialog where you can enter in the properties of the resource that you want to create. And I just, put in some kind of dummy data here to create the application. And then when you click OK on this panel, it'll create the resource in RDS and show it in your topology. So moving on to page 22, you can also delete resources. In this case, I decided I wanted to delete system 80. I multi-selected in this case. If you click on multiple nodes in this graph, it'll do multi-select. So I want to delete several items. So again, I right-clicked at the context menu, choose delete, and then I'll get a confirmation dialog asking me if I'm sure I want to delete these four resources. And when I say yes, it'll delete them from RDS and delete them from your topology. So moving on to page 24, you can also create relationships between resources. Now, in general, RDS will discover the resources, and hopefully as a user you won't need to explore this function much. But if you do need to, one way to create relationships is to select the two items that you're interested in. In this case, I selected system 118 and system 81. I right-clicked on system 81, got the context menu. There's a new relationship cascade, and there I'll get the choices of valid relationships I can create between the two objects. In this case, I can create either a host or a hosted by. I choose hosts, move to page 25, and a new relationship has been created between the two resources. Now, I guess I didn't mention it here in this pitch, but you can also delete relationships. Similarly to deleting resources, like I showed earlier, you right-click on the relationship, choose delete. So if I go to page 26, you can also edit properties on these resources. You can do that either by right-clicking on the resource and choosing properties, or if you notice over in the lower right-hand corner, there's a properties table, and if those properties are editable, there's an edit button there. And so similar to the dialog I showed earlier for creating an application, if you choose edit, you would get a dialog of all the properties, and you'd be able to edit and click OK. So I'm moving to slide 27 and talk about defining a logical group. Sometimes you might have some resources in your environment that you care about a lot, that you want to keep close tabs on, or you might want to kind of try to organize your business. You know that these five systems make up your payroll system, for example, and you want to kind of create a payroll group so that you can quickly find, go back and look and see how your payroll systems are doing. So in this case, I selected, in this screenshot, I selected like five different systems right-clicked, got the context menu, and I'm going to choose Add to Group, which will take me to another dialog on page 28 to allow me to select among the logical groups that have already been created. Or there's a new button you'll notice there if you want to create a new, brand new group. In this case, I'm going to just choose the payroll group, and these five systems will be added. So now I'm going to move on to page 29 and talk quickly about launching the RDS GUI. Now all these types and topologies that I've been talking about are discovered by RDS, and there's within the VE console, there's an RDS admin and configuration GUI that you can go to fine-tune and set up how RDS goes out and discovers things. And I believe yesterday there was another presentation by the RDS team on that GUI, but this is just shown here to show that you can launch into that UI from topology. Now I'm moving on and going to talk about, I've talked about the two data sources we have. I'm going to talk about on slide 31, you can kind of look at that data. Once you're in a data source, you can look at that data in different ways. So far, I've only showed you kind of a graphical representation of the data, but as I show here in the screenshot on 31, you can switch between a graph view, which is what you see here, a table view of the resources, or a table view of the relationships. So I'll move to page 32, and I've chose to show the resource table, and as you can see, it's a tabular representation of the resources. This is provided to help you find things in a large data set, for one thing, and also for accessibility. You know, for example, a blind user wouldn't be able to use the graphical view, for example, but they can come to the table view and have a screen reader read it. Everything that we've seen that's available in the graph view is available here in the table view in terms of the operations you can do. And I invoked one of the context menus on a row here in this screenshot. You can see that, you know, there's open next level, open all levels. So you can do all of your drill down from the table view just like you did from the graph view. I go to page 33. I showed an example where I filtered and sorted the table just to show, give a quick example about how you can kind of, you know, if you have 1,000 things in your list and you know you're interested in things named with ISC in the title, you know, you can filter that down to a few. And then once you've done that, if you invoke a context menu on one of these rows, we have a show resource and graph option, which will actually take you back to the graph view and highlight and scroll the graph view as necessary to show you that resource. Moving to slide 34, we also have a relationship table view, which, you know, you saw the resource table view, which has a list of resources in the topology. The relationship table has a list of relationships that occur in the topology. So you can see we're like, systems contains, that's kind of hidden by my graphic there, but you know, you have a from column, type column, and to column, and with the resource, the type of relationship, and the other resource that's part of the relationship. So I'm going to move on and to slide 36 and talk about the resource topology preferences. There's a little pencil up in the upper right-hand corner of your portlet. You can switch into a preferences, edit preferences mode, and this will allow you to set some things that are customizable across sessions. So if you always want to use the last data source, so if you always use the manage resources view, if you turn this option on, which is on by default, then the next time you come to topology, manage resources data source will be there. Similarly, you can say whether you show the graph view by default or the table view, and what the size of the viewer should be when the topology application is launched. Now I'm going to move on and quickly talk about some additional GUI features that we provide, and I'll start that on page 38. I showed you kind of how to drill down into the topology, you know, to form new topologies, but you also find you'll have the need to go back. You know, you drill down and you want to go back to the last topology, or you want to go to the home view of the data source, and we provide buttons that are circled here to go back and to go home. Going to page 39, we have some tools to zoom in and zoom out on the graph, as well as to fit the graph, fit the content into the viewport you see here. So big topology would become much smaller and fit in the space allowed. Page 40, point out our overview, which you see there's a blue box in the middle of it, which kind of shows you what part of the graph you're looking at. You can also move that box around as a way to scroll to different parts of your graph. I'm on slide 41 now. We have a properties area, which I kind of pointed out earlier, but as you select nodes and relationships, you'll see their properties over on the lower right-hand corner. Going to page 42, in that same area where you saw the properties, we've got a tabbed pane there that you can choose the legend view there, and you get a legend of what the relationships mean, what the correlation of the color to the type of relationship you're seeing. Moving to page 43, we've added, there's a tab there for rules, which kind of describes the rules that were used to form the topology you're looking at. So, for example, in this case, you might see that group contains any sort of resource type. And hopefully this isn't something that users have to use a lot, but it might be useful at times. You know, well, why didn't this type of relationship show up in my topology? And you can go to the rules and figure that out. Get to page 44, just quickly pointing out at the bottom of our topologies, we have kind of some summary, what's the root node, what the description, which is basically the menu item you chose to drill down, the number of resources, the number of relationships, how many are selected. Going to page 45, we provide a refresh button and a last refresh timestamp. So if you're looking at this topology and you think, well, you know, some discovery has been running, there might be some new nodes or relationships now, hit the refresh button and we'll go back out to RDS or the VE environment and show you any updated data. Page 46, just pointing out, you know, I talked about you can kind of scroll with the overview window. You can also, there's arrows, I guess 8 different arrows on the sides of the graph that you can click and scroll in the direction of the arrow. Page 47, you'll notice there's a little kind of handle you can grab a hold of to actually resize this viewport. So you might say, well, this is kind of small, my topology is big, I want to expand this, kind of like you'd resize a window in other applications. Page 48, just to point out that, you know, I've been talking about context menus in the graph all along by right-clicking. Equivalent functionality is also available in the menu, the combo box menu at the top of the viewer. Page 49, talking about the support area, where we have the overview, the properties, the legends, and the rules. If you want to conserve some horizontal screen space, you can click on the button that's circled, and it'll hide that. Page 50, you can specify what mouse mode you want to be in. Typically, you're going to be in the select mouse mode. We also provide a pan and a zoom mouse mode. The zoom mouse mode, for example, allows you to draw a square with the cursor, and you'll zoom right in to that square. And I guess that kind of brings me to the conclusion, just that, you know, I showed you a lot of functionality here in a pretty short period of time, but the basic idea is that our topology application allows users to visualize, explore, and work with the resources and relationships in a graphical way and a tabular way as well. And you can choose from, again, either the virtualization engine environment data or the managed resources data that's driven by RDS. So I guess I would open it up for questions now.
At this time, if you have any questions, please direct them towards Mr. Irwin.
Yes, I have a question. How do we manage partition server? Is there, yeah, the name is Laurent Vanel, and is there a view where you can have all the OSs hosted by one partition server? Is that something that is provided?
How do we manage partitions? Is that what you're asking?
How do you view them? I mean, I have a server which is partitioned. It holds something like 8 partitions. Can I have a view where I have, if I click on the server, I have the relationship with all the operating system it hosts?
Right. The systems resource type in the managed resources view,
yeah,
can represent either a physical system or a logical partition. So the idea would be that RDS would go out and discover all of your logical partitions, and then you would see those in the topology.
Would I see them as a system or as a partition of a hardware system? Can I make the difference between those two?
We're calling them systems, but they're either physical or logical, and yes, you would see the relationships from the logical system back to the physical system.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep, you're welcome.
Tony, this is Madeline Nick. I have a question.
Okay.
What I'm trying to figure out is who is the true vision or view of the resources that are out there? If you were to add something on this topology, into this tool here, does it get updated into RDS or VE or vice versa? How is that actually done?
Yeah, it does. It gets updated into RDS. It becomes part of the RDS database.
And then is this something that's like is there an activity, does it happen at the time? So asynchronously it goes back and touches RDS, or as you add it, it gets done?
It happens in real time. As you add it, it gets done. And if something fails, you know, you get an error message right away.
Same thing. Okay, very good. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Are there any more questions at this time? At this time, we'll turn the call over to Mr. Tim Mossing and his presentation.
Okay. This is another session in the Virtualization Engine Deep Dive series. This session is titled Virtualization Engine Console, Launching Context. My name is Tim Mossing, and I'll be talking about Launching Context for about the next 30 minutes. On page 2 of the presentation, the goals for this session are really theory and application based. First, I want you to understand at the end of the presentation what the launching context facility is within the VE console and what it brings to the table. Then I want you to be able to use it within the VE console and launch tasks from the VE console into external systems management applications like IBM Director Console, iSeries Navigator, and WebSM. And also within this presentation, I'm going to touch briefly on the VE Launchpad and its integration that Launching Context has with the Launchpad, as well as a few other Release 2 Launchpad enhancements. So on page 3, we have our agenda. I'm going to introduce Launching Context. overview what Launching Context has to offer, show how it's used, identify the prerequisites needed to use Launching Context within the VE console, show how tasks are launched, show where tasks are launched with the different launch points. Then we'll look at the integration with the Launchpad, as well as the Launchpad enhancements, how Launching Context utilizes SSO support, and then we'll wrap it up. And I have a few additional resources for you to look at if you're interested in the other things that I touch on, and I'll open it up for Q&A. So to introduce Launching Context, on page 4, as you've heard previously, our goal with the VE console is to bring the user an integrated console where they can manage their entire heterogeneous enterprise. We have the situation today where we have these customers with fairly complex enterprises managing several platforms, and it turns out they have one or more tools to manage each type of platform. So say they have I-series boxes, P-series boxes, X-series boxes, they have to be fluent in several systems management tools to be able to manage their environment. Our end goal is to converge all of this function within the VE console and mask all that complexity to the user and just allow them to manage their enterprise. Our Launching Context comes in the interim. Before we get to that end goal, we have this strategic interim solution where we have all this management function currently existing available to us in these client-based systems management consoles like IBM Director Console. And we're going to utilize that function until we get to our overall goal and integrate that into what we currently have within the VE console. So on page 5, the overview of Launching Context is that it's the next generation of the client launch facility that we had in the Release 1 VE Launchpad. We still leverage the Java Web Start application in order to launch different tasks into these client-based systems management consoles. And Launching Context is there to exploit these popular tasks that users like to use the client-based systems management consoles for. Within the Release 1 VE console, our health center did an excellent job of observing the entire enterprise health through the importing of monitors and being able to check on systems and other things within your enterprise. But when it came to corrective management, we were lacking in that the only corrective management we offered, other than the few integrated tasks, was the launching of the external systems management consoles from the VE Launchpad. Now with Launching Context, we can exploit tasks directly in these consoles from the health center and other areas within the VE console. In addition to that task exploitation in the client systems management consoles, we have an automatic install capability within Launching Context, meaning that if you perform a task that requires the IBM Director Console and you don't currently have that console installed on your client browser system, Launching Context has the ability to install that console for you, downloading it from the VE server machine and running the silent install, followed by launching that task which you had specified within the VE console. And we'll go through that later in the presentation. And finally, Launching Context also supports single sign-on. And I know there were previous sessions in this deep dive series on security and single sign-on support. If there are mappings that exist for a particular host that one of these systems management consoles is launched against, we'll take advantage of that mapping and authenticate to that client management console so that the user doesn't have to. On page 6, we have the prerequisites for Launching Context. The first hard prerequisite is that Java Web Start must be installed on the client system. Most users have Java Web Store installed on their client system. Since it is included in the version 1.4 and above JREs. However, if they do not have Java Web Store installed, we'll notify them with a warning message within the VE console and provide a link for them to go and install it. Now, the second requirement, which is a bit softer, is that the client consoles that exploit these tasks to be launched from the VE console must be installed previous to the launch. However, IBM Director Console 5.1 and WebSM 5.3 do not need to be installed by the customer before one of these launches because of the auto-installation support we provide within launching context. iSeries Navigator, however, does need to be installed previous to the launch because we don't support auto-install for that console. And if iSeries Navigator is not installed, you'll see a message similar to what's on the bottom right of this slide number 6 indicating that iSeries Navigator is not installed on this computer. And this help button will take you to a web page that indicates where you can obtain iSeries Navigator console. And then the customer can install that for future launches. And again, the three consoles that we support for launching context are IBM Director Console 5.1, WebSM 5.3, and iSeries Navigator V5R4. Going back to slide 7, task launching is available within the VE console, and the majority of tasks available within the VE console happen to be launching context tasks. This launching context facility surfaces tasks within three places in the VE console, and once that task is selected, you'll see a virtualization and a splash screen depicted in the bottom right screenshot on slide 7. And if the console that the task is going to be launched in is not currently up and running, launching context will launch that console and then launch the task within that console. If the console is already running, say for in this example where we have selected the run command task against a Management Central endpoint, if iSeries Navigator is not up and a run command task is to be launched against the Navigator console, it will be brought up for you. If it's already running, then the run command task will be launched in the existing iSeries Navigator console instance. On page 8, one thing to keep in mind is the security warning that's displayed when launching a launching context task. In order to perform these launching context tasks in installed client consoles, we need to download a small program from the VE console, and that program pulled down from the VE console system via Java Web Start. And that program is digitally signed with a certificate we've obtained from a trusted third party, VeriSign being the certificate authority. And this is just indicating to the user that this program will be run, and it's signed on behalf of IBM, so it can be trusted, and the digital signature verifies that the program has not been tampered with. So the point here is that every time a launching context task is launched, they'll get this prompt unless they select the always option on this warning dialog. Selecting this always button will place the certificate in the client's trust store, so from then on, whenever a task is launched that requires a launching context, they won't see this warning dialog. So on page 9, we show the first client console that we support with launching context, and that's IBM Director 5.1. You'll see in this top right screenshot, we have the VE console health center here. And for all of those endpoint systems that are returned by an IBM Director management source, you will have actions within the IBM Director Management Source endpoints that carry out tasks within the IBM Director console. So in this case, when we've drilled down on an endpoint, we select the workload category, then the workload management category. The process management task has been selected, and the arrow shows what happens after that process management task is selected. We get the process management dialog within the IBM Director console put in the forefront of the screen above the browser window. And so that's how we provide the integration between the VE console and these existing systems management consoles. Now, IBM Director console also provides for the automatic installation and upgrade through launching context. It's supported on the AAX, Linux, and Windows platforms. So if we go to page 10, we show a little bit of what this IBM Director auto install is about. If the user has a down level or IBM Director console, say IBM Director console 4.2 on their system, or if they don't have it installed and they attempt to launch a task that requires IBM Director, we'll tell them that they don't have it installed and give them the option to download and install it. The dialog on the screenshot in the top right on page 10 gives them information regarding the install, tells them approximately how long the install will take. The majority of that time is the actual silent install of the Director console. Depending on the network speed, the download of the install image is fairly quick. One thing to remember about the auto install, though, is that the user performing the automatic install must be in the administrators group on Windows or log in as root on AAX and Linux. And that's because of dependencies that are put in place by the IBM Director console install. After the console is installed for the user, the task is then carried out that was originally selected. On page 11, we show the second of the three consoles we support with launching context, and that's Web-Based Systems Manager, or WebSM. And WebSM is utilized for those endpoints that are returned by a CSM management source. When bringing up a context menu in the health center on a CSM endpoint, you see tasks applicable to that CSM endpoint that will be carried out by WebSM. So in this example, we've selected workload management, and we see tasks, six of them, surfaced within that subcategory. By selecting the processes, all processes task, we bring up the WebSM GUI that's already selected to the all processes category. WebSM is also available for automatic install from the VE console host if it's not already installed on the client system. So on page 12, we show a couple screenshots of that auto installation. Similarly to the IBM Director auto installation, after WebSM is installed from the VE console host or updated, the specified task will be carried out following the installation. On slide 13, we show the last of the three consoles we support through launching context, and that's iSeries Navigator. iSeries Navigator task is used for those tasks that are surfaced on the endpoints that are returned by the Management Central or MC management source. And in this example, we show, drilling down the workload category once again, workload monitors and the new system monitor menu item. Once selecting that new system monitor menu item, we bring up the new monitor dialog within iSeries Navigator above the browser window. The user then can go and create their new monitor, adding the metrics that they see fit. After creating that new monitor, that monitor can then be imported into the VE console. iSeries Navigator, though, does not support automatic installation, so it has to be installed prior to the task launch. On page 14, I talk about the launch points. there are three places to launch tasks within the VE console that require launching context. The first is a target or resource-based launch from the VE console health center. In that type of launch, a user will select a target resource, bring up a context menu on that resource, and select a task. And those are what we've shown thus far in the previous six slides or so with identifying the IBM Director, WebSM, and iSeries Navigator types of launching context. The second type of launch is done by drilling down into a functional category in the left-hand navigation pane. In this type of launch, a functional category is selected, and then a user can choose a target, and based on the target chosen, tasks within that category will be presented to the user, and the user can select any one of those presented tasks to launch on a selected target. And finally, the third place where launching context appears in the VE console is in the launch pad. Favorite tasks can be added to the launch pad as a type of bookmarking system. At any point, the user can then bypass the health center and the task category portlet that we'll see in a few slides and go directly to the launch pad to launch common or favorite tasks. On slide 15, we show the resource-based type of launch. And this is where you drill down on a resource or an endpoint, and within a functional category, you'll see tasks available for that resource. Now, those tasks that have a launch icon next to them represent a launching context action, meaning that a separate window will be launched when selecting that item, and that separate window will be the interactive task dialog within the external systems management console. One thing to notice about the task layout within the health center is we have these tasks sorted by category and subcategory. If you look at the context menu and compare it with the navigation area on the left-hand side, you'll see that the tasks are laid out the same. So whether you're doing a resource-based task launch or a category-based task launch, you should see the same tasks in both places, although you can get to them in two different ways. So on page 16, we have our category-based task launch. And in this case, we've drilled down into the left-hand navigation pane. Under the health category, we selected messages and logs. By selecting that messages and logs subcategory, we're brought up with this task category portlet. This task category portlet is where you can select the target of your task. Based on the target you've selected, either through the drop-down box or through the browse dialog, all tasks supported on that target of the category selected will be presented to you in this portlet. And then the task can be launched by selecting the task name link. So in this case, by selecting the new message monitor link. On page 17, we show how the browse button works on this category task portlet. Initially, when you go into the task category portlet, there will be no systems within the drop-down box, so you'll have to browse for them. Once you select the browse button, all endpoints known by all defined management sources that support tasks of the category you've selected will be shown, so that you can select any one of those systems surfaced in the systems or groups surfaced in the browse dialog, and when you return from the browse dialog, you'll have applicable tasks available within that portlet, shown as links. Now, after you've selected a system or group for a particular category through this browse dialog, that system will be persisted in this drop-down box. So if at a future time you come back to this task category portlet for a particular category, you'll have the previous systems you've selected in the drop-down box, and you will not have to use the browse dialog. On page 18, we show the results of either selecting a targeted resource through the drop-down box or through the browse dialog. In this case, we have a system, which happens to be an iSeries partition, LP01UT4. And based on the selection of that system, we see all the tasks that are available to be run against that system in a messages and logs category. Again, any one of these tasks can be run by selecting on the task name link. And we'll see the integration of launching context into the VE Launchpad by pressing the Save button. And we'll get to that in a couple slides. On page 19, I first want to give you an overview or a refresher of the VE Launchpad. It's been around since release 1, although its location has changed. Instead of being under the Virtualization Engine Console node in its own Launchpad category, it's moved to the My Tasks category. And by selecting the Launchpad link, you can bring up the VE Launchpad. So just as in release 1, where the VE Launchpad was a single repository for all web-based and external VE-related consoles, it still is that, but it also has had a few enhancements. One of the big enhancements is that the VE Launchpad now detects all VE web consoles in the VE environment. So, for example, if EWLM Control Center is within the VE environment, the Launchpad will automatically detect that and add it as a link within the Launchpad. Another new feature in Release 2 of the Launchpad is the ability to be able to arrange Launchpad entries and create new categories within the Launchpad. On page 20, we show how launching context integrates with the Launchpad. The ability to save commonly used or favorite tasks to the Launchpad is nice because you can bypass both the VE Health Center and the task category portlet and go directly to the Launchpad for those commonly ran tasks. So by selecting the save link in the task category portlet, you'll be brought up with the dialog on the top right of page 21. This is a save, the dialog that I'm speaking of is the one that says save to Launchpad. And with this add or save to Launchpad dialog, you can specify an existing folder in the Launchpad or define a new folder to put this favorite task into. And you can optionally update the task name. By default, the task name will be the name of the task with the target within parentheses. When you select OK on this Save to Launchpad dialog, that link is then saved to the Launchpad in the folder that you've selected. And in the bottom right of slide 21, we see where this new message monitor task is saved to the Launchpad. The nice thing about this is it's a bookmarking system that is browser and PC independent, meaning that since all this information is stored on the VE server machine, you can log in from any PC or with any browser, and you'll still have your list of favorites listed in the Launchpad. Another new addition to the Launchpad in Release 2 is the i5OS extensions. What these are the integration of the iSeries Navigator tasks for the web, which debuted in V5R3 iSeries. And these tasks have been integrated into the VE console. So there's approximately 90 integrated iSeries tasks for the web in the VE console within Release 2. These tasks can be accessed in full from the Launchpad by selecting the i5OS extensions link. In that case, you'll be brought up to another dialog where you can select any of the integrated web-based iSeries tasks. These tasks are also surfaced in both the Health Center context menus and a task category portlet when selecting a target that supports any of these tasks, namely an iSeries endpoint. On page 23, we have the launch and context SSO support. Now, I know that there are a previous session or two on security and SSO, and launch and context utilizes a mapping for SSO if it exists. So if there is a mapping to a host for the authenticated VE user, and the user at some later point in time attempts to launch a IBM Director task from the VE console, if that mapping exists for that host, the user ID credential from that mapping will be used to authenticate to the IBM Director console, and that will bypass the user from having to authenticate to the client-based console. So as you, if you've listened to the previous session on the security or SSO support, these mappings exist in the Manage User Identity portlet under the Virtualization Engine setup. On page 24, which I'm on now, I want to kind of wrap up what we've talked about in the past 25 minutes or so. What Launch and Context provides is a way to integrate the existing eServer platform management tasks into a single point, in this case, the VE console. Ideally, all those tasks would already exist within the VE console natively, but unfortunately, it's going to take time to move all the tasks in a common way to this single web-based console. And so with Launch and Context, we're able to take advantage of the millions of lines of code that already exist out there, which utilize the IBM Director console, iSeries Navigator console, and WebSM console. Launch and Context also keeps a user in a single flow when performing systems management. In release one, as I said, we did great with the observation of enterprise health, but we were lacking a little bit with corrective action. Launching context allows that corrective action to be integrated within the VE console and prevents the user having to go and separately launch and find tasks within consoles where they need to take the corrective action. Launching context does that for them. And again, launching context is the initial step towards our goal of complete task convergence and integration. On page 25, I have some additional resources. If you're interested in looking at any of these things, some of which I've talked about more than others. And finally, I'd like to take any questions at this time.
If there are any questions at this time, you may direct them towards Mr. Tim Mossing. Mr. Mossing, it looks as though there are no questions.
Tim, this is Madeline Nick. Thank you very much. This closes our sessions, and I'd like you to remind people of the opportunity to ask questions and send me questions in email.
Thank you.
So I think my phone's going off, so if you'd like to give them the user ID, if they could send questions by October 1st, that'd be great.
Okay. The user ID that Madeline spoke about is maddie@us.ibm.com. That's maddie@us.ibm.com. And if you have any questions on this session or any of the other sessions, you can send them to her by October 1st. And in the October time frame, there's going to be another call where we're going to have a question and answer session on all of the deep dive sessions.
Thank you very much. We can close the call now, operator. Thank you, guys. Great job.
Thank you, Ms. Nick, and you have a good afternoon.
You too.